Join God's family. First, God exists. And whoever wants God finds God. Everyone knows this because God shows them. He speaks to every person through the things he has created. Some people argue with atheists and try to present evidence that God exists, but atheists already know. They're just experts at ignoring God and denying reality. A quote from Scripture: "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." John 6:44. You probably don't remember the first time God spoke to you about this, but you may remember many times when you stood in wonder when you saw the beauty of creation. Your sense of wonder was streaming from the voice of God. You could sense the great wisdom of the Creator God. Not only that, if you read the Bible, God speaks to you directly through the Bible. Suppose you meet a Christian who is speaking by the Holy Spirit. As this Christian tells you about Jesus Christ, God is speaking to you. As you read this book, God is speaking to you directly through this book. God speaks to everyone, regardless of whether they're born again. Even though the creation fell into the hands of Satan and is now imperfect, it still shows you the majesty of God. As you look at the stars on a clear night and feel that sense of awe, you're experiencing God speaking to you of His greatness. The heavens are declaring the glory of God as God speaks to you through them, so you have a sense of praise and admiration when you watch a beautiful butterfly and see the artwork of the wings and see its beautiful dance. You are fascinated and captivated because God is showing you just a glimpse of His brilliance. Then, as God paints a glorious sunset, you stand amazed in wonder at the glory and extravagance of your God. In the same way, God sends a Christian to lift you and encourage you and show you God's glory. So God sends the creation He has created to cheer you and fill you with respect. God speaks to you through your intuition. For example, He shows you that some things look like someone designed them and built them. If I told you this book just popped together by chance one day, you wouldn't believe me. You would know I was lying. You would know an author wrote this book, and someone made the illustrations and pictures in this book. You know a painter painted the paintings in an art gallery. When you look at a building, you know someone built it. When you look at the complex and beautiful cells that make up any living plant or animal, you know only God could have engineered and built them. A new definition. Intuition. The ability to understand something immediately, without the need for conscious reasoning.
Say it in plain English.
In plain English, intuition is one of the ways God can show you truth. You know, even though you can't explain how you know, except God showed you. You know these things because the light of Christ reveals it to you. Christ is the light. Christ lights every person who comes into the world. Before a person is born again, Christ's light shines on them from the outside. After a person is born again, Christ's light is in them, shining out from them. You look at a product, and you know someone designed and built it. God shows it to you. You call it intuition, since you know, without using conscious logic. God's light shines in the darkness. But the darkness doesn't eagerly embrace it and hold tightly to it. The darkness tries to shield itself from the light. When those who walk in the darkness continually refuse to accept the light or let the light destroy their darkness, God eventually lets them have their darkness. Then they become increasingly deaf and blind. They didn't want the truth, so they believe the lies that come their way. When you see how beautiful and complex even the simplest cell is, you know it's designed. It has tiny but powerful computers and robots in it. And everything works perfectly. It's more complicated than a city or a jet plane. It has more code written in it than we can put into our best computers. You know someone designs and builds cities. You know someone designs and builds airplanes. You know someone designed and built the simplest cell. And only God could have designed and built the cell. You know God exists by intuition. You know it's Him speaking to you by intuition. You know the Bible is God's word without error because God tells you this through your intuition. Some people reject what God shows them. Those people say, there is no God. God calls them fools. They are foolish for many reasons. A quote from Scripture, "For what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain, revealed it to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from His workmanship, so that men are without excuse." Romans 1:19-20. God shows you He's the designer and builder of everything. He reveals it to you. Everyone knows it. You don't have to depend on imagination. You don't need to make assumptions. You don't have to invent stories. God doesn't say they should have figured it out. God says He revealed it to them. He revealed it to you. God makes it known to you. He shows you that He exists. But He also shows you His invisible qualities. He shows you a lot about Himself. He wants to make peace with you and have a relationship with you. When God shows you something, you can't miss it. You can't miss it, but you can dismiss it. You can ignore it. If you ignore God, you darken your thinking. If you shut God out, you shut out God's light. If you ignore God's voice, you become irrational. That would be foolish. So open your mind to God. Don't ignore God's voice. Don't shut out God's light. A new definition. Fallacy, faulty reasoning, misleading or unsound argument.
Say it in plain English.
In plain English, a fallacy is something that tricks your mind or makes you think a lie is the truth. You may wonder about what I'm going to say next, but you'll understand it if you understand how rational thought works. To be rational, we must base our thoughts on truth. The human mind has no method to reason to truth. The human mind can only make bare claims, reason in a circle, or support claims with unproved proofs. It can't reason to truth. All truth is hidden in Christ. That's why atheists are irrational. Humanists are irrational. It's not that they don't receive truth just like everyone else does. It's just that they don't acknowledge the truth came from Christ. So they have truth, but they can't tell the truth from the false claims that come from fallen human minds or demons. They refuse to acknowledge God. So they have to think with lies and fallacies instead of truth. To them, everything becomes relative. They can't see absolutes. Without truth, there are no absolutes. Depending on how much they have blocked out the light of Christ, they can't tell right from wrong, truth from lies, or reality from make-believe. Unfortunately, Christians who don't acknowledge the leading and teaching of Christ have the same problem, and we will all suffer from this problem somewhat until the Spirit of Christ fully transforms us into the image and likeness of Christ. A quote from Scripture: "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and darkened in their foolish hearts." Romans 1:21. When you listen to God and believe He exists, that gets you ready for your first step with God. As soon as you realize God exists and that He's holy, righteous, and good, you also realize you have sin in yourself. You begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness. You want the sin gone. You know you aren't clean, and you know you aren't worthy to stand in God's presence. You know you need Jesus to save you from your sin and your sinful nature. The first step you take with God is when you're born again by the Holy Spirit. Being born again is where you start. Just as your natural life began with your natural birth, your spiritual life begins with your spiritual birth. Those of us who know Jesus Christ have been born again by the Spirit. If you aren't born again, you need to know how to be born again. Without being born again, you can't understand anything important. You must be born again. The good news: you're born again as soon as you believe Jesus paid the price for your sins. Adam and Eve disobeyed God and obeyed Satan. Jesus Christ never once obeyed Satan, and He always obeyed His Father. That's how Jesus overcame death. He was obedient through life, through His suffering, and even to the point of laying down His life. It's not hard to understand. The Father calls you. God speaks to you. He calls you. He shows you that you can't be perfect. If you do wrong, God shines His light on that. You know you did wrong right away. God shows you that you need Him because He loves you. He shows you that you're lost without Him. Then He shows you the answer to all your problems. You hear about what Jesus did for you. You hear about how He paid the price to set you free from sin. When you hear this, you're hearing God's voice telling you the good news. God may speak through a person, this book, or the Bible. When you listen to God's voice, the faith of God comes to you so you can believe. When you believe, you're born again into God's family by grace. Here's a Bible verse that tells you about being born again. A quote from Scripture, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ," Romans 5:1. When God justifies you, he acquits you. God declares you innocent. You know you've done things you shouldn't have done, and yet God declares you innocent. He can do this because his Son, Jesus, paid for your sins on the cross. Jesus paid your debt. So God can declare you debt-free. God loved you so much that he gave his only unique Son. So when you believe in his Son, you won't die, but you'll have his life in you that never ends. A new definition: justified, declared innocent, acquitted.
Say it in plain English.
In plain English, God is your judge, and he declares you not guilty because Jesus took your punishment by dying on the cross. God says you're innocent when you don't deserve to be called innocent. It's not that you haven't ever done anything wrong. Jesus paid the price of everything you did wrong. When the Father forgave you, the Father made peace with you. He gave this to you as a gift. You can't buy it. You don't have any goodness of your own to pay for it, but you don't have to pay for it. It's free. God justifies you. He declares you innocent because of your faith, and he gave you his faith as another gift. By faith, you're born into the kingdom of God. You become part of God's family. You were a slave of Satan, but now you're a child of God. When you were born again by the Spirit, God was starting his work in you. A quote from Scripture: "For at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God proves his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5:6-8. You're born again based on nothing but what Jesus Christ has done. You're born again based on the blood of Jesus. God even gave you the faith to believe. God gave you his faith by speaking to you in your innermost being. You recognize his voice because he created you. You were born as a baby. Being born again has nothing to do with works of righteousness. You just had to receive God's gift. God won't force himself on anyone, but anyone who wants to can come to God. When you're born again, you've started on the path to your transfiguration. You're on the path to growing up. A quote from Scripture: "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. John 3:3-8. You were born again when faith came to you. You can't work up faith. Faith isn't making yourself believe. Faith isn't assuming, since that would be make-believe. Faith isn't make-believe. Faith isn't faking it until you make it. In a world of fakers, faith is real. You need the real faith of God. A new definition. Rhema, God's utterance, God's spoken words.
Say it in plain English.
In plain English, God speaks to you in many ways. He speaks through the Bible, through people, and through His creation. Real faith comes to you when you hear, and you hear when God speaks to you. A quote from Scripture. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you confess and are saved. Romans 10:9-10. God's speaking is called his rhema. Rhema means utterance. Utterance means a spoken word. God speaks to you through Scripture. God also speaks to you through Christians who yield to the Holy Spirit. God can speak to you any way He wants to. When God speaks to you, He provides His faith to you. That's how you are born again. God speaks to you. You hear him and acknowledge him, and his faith comes to you. Jesus Christ authors God's faith in you. God's faith opens the door to God's grace, and God's grace speaks through you to confess that Jesus is now your Lord. That changes your heart. You were born again by the flowing water of the Holy Spirit. If you think of flowing water or the wind, the Holy Spirit is like that. He flows. You can feel His presence. You can hear Him whisper. A quote from Scripture. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. He was speaking about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. For the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. John 7:38-39. When God gives you his faith, you're born into God's kingdom by the springing fountain of the Holy Spirit. Your spirit changes as it unites with the Holy Spirit. You are a three-part creature. You are spirit, soul, and body. Your soul is your mind. Your soul is your life. A quote from Scripture, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. You have a spirit, soul, and body. The Greek word translated as soul is also translated as mind, heart, or life. God created you as a three-part creature. You are spirit, mind, and body. A new definition. Soul. The mind, life, and heart of a person.
Say it in plain English.
In plain English, your soul is your mind and your life. God created your spirit to rule over your soul. God created your soul to rule over your body. Once you're born again, the Holy Spirit joins your spirit and begins to lead you. He speaks to you through the Bible, and he speaks to you through every means of divine revelation mentioned in the Bible. Now you are in a battle, fighting for your mind and life. God wants your soul for life. Sin wants your soul for death. The Holy Spirit is working in you to transform your mind. Sin is working through the flesh of your body to stop God's transformation. As soon as you're born again, you quickly find you still have a fleshly nature. Your fleshly nature still wants to sin. That new person born within you cannot sin. The new person is Christ in you. Christ never sins. He lives in you, and he can't sin. He is your hope of glory. A quote from Scripture. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. What do you do about your troublesome, rebellious, fleshly nature? If you follow the flesh, you head toward death. If you follow Christ, you head toward life. So what are you going to do? You identify with the Christ in you. That's who you are. You are not your carnal nature anymore. You have a carnal nature, but you owe nothing to your carnal nature. You don't have to obey it, even though your carnal nature wants to have its way. And so your battle begins. Much more. Notice the words "much more" in the following passage. A quote from Scripture. Therefore, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from wrath through him? For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Romans 5:9-11. You have been justified, acquitted. You shall be saved. God acquits you and joins himself to you. But he's saying he has more for you than that. Romans 5:9-11 says, you shall be saved from wrath through him. What causes the wrath of God? Your sin. When you sin, your sin causes the wrath of God. God saved you from sin. God saved you to righteousness. Righteousness is a gift that comes from God to you. And as you'll see, God's gift of righteousness leads to your transfiguration. Five keys. You're born to grow up. God has a way to transfigure you after you're born again. It's simple. It's easy to understand. You're learning to know the difference between God's voice and all the others, and to yield to His Spirit in willing obedience and submission. Your part is to listen and yield to God. When you listen to God, God puts His faith into you. God's Spirit flows through you and does God's work. If you resist God's Spirit, He lifts from you. The Bible calls it walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, you are walking from where you are to somewhere else. You aren't walking in place and going nowhere. You're walking toward your transfiguration. A quote from Scripture. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh craves what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you want. Galatians 5:16-17. If you're walking in the Spirit, you must stay on the pathway, or you'll walk to the wrong place. You'll take a wrong turn. To avoid that, the Bible gives you a robust view of how to walk in the Spirit to your transfiguration. A quote from Scripture. Since we live by the Spirit, let us walk in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. God will transform you. You must walk day by day in the same way you were born into God's family. When you were born again, you came alive by the power and authority of the Spirit. Now that the Holy Spirit has brought you to life, keep in step with the Holy Spirit as He leads you. You can only do this by yielding to His power. Scripture gives you God's way in these five keys. God leads. Faith comes by hearing. Faith accesses grace. Grace does righteousness. Righteousness transforms you. Here are the five keys from Scripture. Key number one. Today, if you should hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. From Hebrews 3:15. Key number two. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. From Romans 10:17. Key number three. We have gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. From Romans 5:2. Key number four. Let us have grace by which we may serve God. From Hebrews 12:28. Key number five. Righteousness leading to holiness. From Romans 6:19. When you're born again, you're born again by these five keys. The Father calls you and brings you to Christ. You hear His voice, and His faith comes. His faith opens the door to His grace. His grace confesses that Jesus is your Lord, and you open your mouth and confess Jesus. A holy seed is planted in you, and you will never be the same. Your spirit is transformed and joined to the Holy Spirit. You've gone over these five keys lightly in regard to being born again. In the following chapters, you'll see how each of these keys work to transform you into the image and likeness of Christ, with authority and power, so you can rule with Christ in the kingdom of God. Study these keys and give them some thought. You could state the five keys as two keys, but you would miss a lot if you did. You could just say, the Holy Spirit leads me, and I'm learning to listen and yield myself to God in willing submission and obedience. However, you could have a much more complete and wonderful picture of what's happening when you see the five keys in Scripture. A new definition. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in God's will.
Say it in plain English.
In plain English, you're listening to God's leading and yielding to His Spirit. You're allowing God to do His works and say His words through you instead of doing your own works and saying your own words. God leads you moment by moment and takes you through these five keys each moment. These five keys fit a composite lock. You must fit each one of these keys into God's lock in the exact order and method God designed. Satan has plans and tricks to stop you, but God gives you specific ways to overcome each one of Satan's tricks. This has been a mystery God hid in plain sight for ages, and now He's revealing it to you. It's all in the Bible.